Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pleased to be joined now by ESPN's Fran Fraschilla, former college basketball coach who is now covering the Nike Hoop Summit here and covers college basketball. You hear him all throughout the college basketball season. And we were just talking, Fran, that, man, you do have a great gig. You know, these and this has only been in the last, 10, 15 years where coaches can get out of the grind of coaching but still stay in the game and make a good salary broadcasting. I'm not surprised that, well, Gruden went back now, but, you know, a lot of coaches stay, they never go back to coaching. They stay in broadcasting.
It depends on your outlook. Like some guys I know, and it's true in football too, they can't stay away from the competition. And so that's why you see guys, there are guys that always want to go back from broadcasting to coaching. Gruden obviously picked the right opportunity. In my case, I was a young guy. I was a head coach at 32 or 33, and my last coaching gig, I was 43, 16 years ago. So I had plenty of chances to go back to coaching the last 16 years, but I found something I really love. Don't make quite the money, but I make a great living at ESPN. And I got to really watch my two sons grow up. I know that sounds kind of, you hear that a lot, but I started to think about, wait a minute, don't mess with happy. I got a great job, got a great lifestyle. I live in Dallas, Texas, which is a great city, which is even better if you're from New York City because, it's a great place to live. But in all honesty, I'm a basketball junkie if you haven't ever figured that out on TV. I love what I do. I'm around the game, Sook, every single day. Every single day I'm doing something with basketball. And then I get to come out here at courtside and watch a lot of guys that are going to be in college next year, and I'll call their games there, and then I'll watch them in the NBA. And it's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. You actually have a healthy perspective on that. You know, so much of the college game now, or whether college or NBA or NFL or NCAA, I'm not going to say that coaches hate their families or anything like that, but it seems like with the money and on the line now, it seems all-encompassing, and that a lot of the people that are really successful, it really does eat away at every – Urban Meyer almost died.
Yes.
I mean, it really does eat away to where there really is nothing left other than, as you said, the competition.
Yeah, and you know what? Nowadays, especially at the power conference level, these guys are making enormous amounts of money. But I don't know that I would have gone back to that level, although I did coach at that level at St. John's and then, New Mexico. But I just came to a peace of mind, if you will, that I just wanted to see my family and watch my kids grow up. And I have a lot of friends who are still doing this at a high level who wish they could trade places with me, but they're in great schools, they're making great money, and at the end of the day, I feel like I'm an ambassador for the game. I'm not afraid to be critical of things that happen on the court. This whole recruiting scandal bugs the daylights out of me. Yeah. But at the same time, I love the game. I love talking about players, and I love promoting the game when it needs to be promoted.
Let's go to the recruiting scandal, and then we'll get that done.
Yes.
And then we'll go to what's happening here tonight. But you have such a unique perspective being a coach and being around the game. And I told you off the air, I'm a Kansas fan, so I'm sweating bullets.
Yep.
And I think all fans are sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Is it possible at all that coaches, the head coaches, don't know what was going on with the Adidas and the payments to some of these kids and their families?
It's possible. On the other hand, most of us who've coached, and I would put my hand up on this one, we're micromanagers by nature. It's just how you – most coaches are successful because they want to know about every little detail in their program. So there probably are some plausible deniability issues that, get this done, I don't want to know about it. But the NCAA has recently put a bylaw in with regard to that says, and this happened at Louisville, even if the coach allegedly doesn't know if anybody in the staff has broken rules, the head coach gets punished. So my take on this is the feds are involved, so we're going to really know stuff. Because the NCAA is like, they're like the mall rental cops. They're like Barney Fife and those guys.
Blart, yeah, I believe was the name you were looking for.
Yeah. So the fact that the feds are involved, this is serious business. When the time comes that people have been caught, I say throw the book at them. My philosophy on this is one guy cheats, the other guy loses his job. It's true. If this guy is cheating and he's getting better players than me and I don't want to break the rules, and I've seen this happen, then I lose my job.
Well, isn't it almost then, it almost becomes a necessary evil then to do it, because if you're at a job, you're making $3 million a year,
yeah,
and the guy next to you is making $3 million a year, and you've got 1 or 2 years to turn it around, and you know what he's doing. It's just, it's hard for me to believe that there are a number of big-name programs that are choosing to do it, quote, the right way, when there's so many that are doing it
okay
this way.
Well, I would say let's eliminate the mid-majors and the low majors.
Yeah.
Let's say the power conferences.
They don't have the money.
Yeah, they don't have the money. They don't necessarily – they're not playing in that
– Yeah.
Swimming
in that deep end.
In that deep end, yeah. There are a lot of guys that are very happy with being able to put their head on the pillow at night. And I hate to mention names, but I will. I don't think Mike Bray at Notre Dame is ever going to commit an NCAA major one violation. Honestly, I don't think John Beilein is at Michigan. He's made clear how meticulous they are about recruiting. And Michigan got to the final this year, which is more about his great coaching. But the reality is a lot of the coaches who don't want to do that, don't want to break the rules, say, I hope my AD's good with us winning, X amount of games, go in the NCAA tournament, and maybe we go to the Sweet 16 every now and then. Because if that's not the standard and you're forced to go further than that, then the coach who's not cheating is in trouble. There's a lot of guys not doing it the wrong way. They're doing it the right way, but they wish they could. The playing field would be a little bit level.
Yeah. But if you're in on an elite kid,
yes,
you have to play that game, right?
Or
you don't get them.
You don't get them. Yeah. Well, a perfect example is, and I told you off the air, I've got a younger son who's at Villanova, but if you look at their team this year, Jalen Brunson was heavily recruited, but he sort of had a tie to Villanova because his father played at Temple. They know Philly, and it was a good fit for him. He was a top 20 player. The rest of that team were all guys from 50 to 150.
Right.
And it just turns out that a guy like Mikal Bridges, who, by the way, redshirted as a freshman, is going to be a lottery pick this year, and they've redshirted a lot of guys. So you can do it the right way at a lot of places when you do find yourself up against a competitor that's doing it the wrong way. You gotta get out.
Yeah, the one and done's, it's different than the way that you look at Villanova and some of the, you mentioned the mid majors that are having kids there that are 2, 3, 4 years.
And it's, again, I don't want to accuse anybody of doing it until the FBI says these guys did it. And then when that happens, then we'll see how it all shakes out. But I've been clear about the fact that cheating is unfair. It just is. Yeah.
But in college basketball circles, reputations.
You think you do. And you want to, but you can't. Everybody says, how come you didn't turn anybody in? Well, you don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But now, and partly because the NCAA never had the authority, the subpoena power, to pull somebody into some court somewhere. Now, when we're dealing with the FBI and the Justice Department, we got some serious things going on.
This is ESPN's Fran Fraschilla with us here on the Fan. Nike Hoop Summit coming up tonight. Now, Bol Bol is a kid a lot of our listeners are interested in because of, he's going to Oregon. Now, I saw this on your Twitter feed. He has a brother named Chris Mullen Bol.
I swear. Well, here's the deal. Manute, and I never really got to meet him. I did see him. But when he played at Golden State, he became very close friends with Chris Mullen, who's actually a guy from my neighborhood in New York City.
Yeah, St. John's,
And I coach at St. John's also. But I've known Chris since he was 14. So Chris was telling me the story. He goes, Manute and I were really close. And I guess he was that kind of personality. And that's why he was so popular as an NBA player, Manute, until he, tragically passed away a few years ago. But Manute named one of his kids Chris Bol. Chris. And its middle name is Mullen. Chris Mullen.
All right.
So that is a true story. There's no fake news on my Twitter.
I love it. So what's Bol Bol all about? Give us the scouting report.
Yeah, you know what? He's really an interesting player. 10% of his game are things that you just that take your breath away. You go, wow, I can't believe he just did that. I can't believe he just reached over a 6'10 guy without fouling him, grabbed it, and he went back and dunked right over him. So that's the 10%. That's the wow factor. The 90% is catching it in the post, guy getting triple teamed, getting bumped, losing the ball, and that's going to have to come around. But he's very talented. He will have an immediate impact at Oregon. I'm just telling you, he's not just a big, tall guy. He has some skill. He's got to get stronger. Dana knows how to. He had Chris Boucher, who people compare this kid to. This kid's, I think, bigger and more athletic. This kid's going to have an impact at Oregon next year.
How raw is it when you see this, you know, tonight? I mean, there are NBA guys here left and right. You look at the guys that have played in this thing. But when we watch this, you know, is there a difference between the world team and the U.S. as far as, you know, quote-unquote, I don't know, just basketball IQ or raw athletes?
Well, I thought you were going a different direction, Sook, so I'm going to answer your question first. Most of the world team, it's a little different the last 3 or 4 years. There's not as many international men of mystery in this game because a lot of these world team kids are now kids, even if they're from Nigeria or Canada, they're playing high school basketball in the States. It used to be when Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, Nick Batum, who was here, obviously, Nick played in this game. These kids were kids who came from overseas and nobody knew about them. But the world team is actually very talented. It's going to be a pretty evenly matched game. But I thought you were going to go a different direction. These kids here, when they play in college next year, they're going to be the equivalent of double-A baseball. So they're still a long way from the NBA. Think about this as single-A baseball tonight. Like, these kids, of the 20 guys or so that are out here, there's probably at least 10 NBA players here. But it's going to take 2, 3. You know, some cases they'll be one and done, but there'll be guys that go to college for 3 and 4 years out here that you'll say, hey, I remember when he played in the Nike Hoop Summit. So the talent level is very high. There's not a single guy out here tonight that's going to have an impact on an NBA team in 2 seasons.
Who's the best player here?
That is a good question. The guy with the biggest rep is RJ Barrett from Canada, and he's going to Duke next year. I would say the best – I'm going to make you feel good. The best player here, I think, is Quentin Grimes going to Kansas.
Yeah, okay.
Out of Houston. And tremendous guard. Bill Self compares him to Darren Williams, who he coached at Illinois, who wound up had a long NBA career.
Fran Fraschilla with us, ESPN. So a lot of people are – they take exception to this being compared to the McDonald's game. Why is that?
Well,
how is this different?
It is a little different. There's a lot more seriousness about this game because of the USA versus the world. This USA team is directly part of USA basketball. So they're basically in the same family tree as our senior national men's team, also known as the Olympic team, with the NBA guys. So there's a lot of pride to represent, more so now than ever before, to represent USA. And the world team, on the other hand, takes their role very seriously. And the USA has dominated, probably won 2 out of every 3. But the world team has had some success throughout the years. And this game tonight, I think, should be a very evenly matched game. Unlike the McDonald's game or the Jordan game, which is just a joke.
Yeah, it's kind of like an all-star game, right? It's a lot of dunks. And
it's not even that.
No.
It's not even an all-star game. I mean, it's a farce. Is what it is, because the guys just won't guard each other. So
this, I'm guessing here, there's a little bit of the, you know, no one wants to get shown up, and you know, some actual competitive blood.
Well, it is, I think, because of the USA versus the world nature, and there's a tradition here about that. And also, this is the first time, or one of the very first times, that NBA teams, this is sanctioned by the NBA, so tonight, behind the benches, you'll see a lot of guys, you know, middle-aged guys that look like NBA scouts, and that's what they are.
I want to ask you about that. You said they don't want to guard each other.
Yeah.
This was maybe a year ago. I was listening to someone. It might have been Jalen Rose who was talking about this.
Yeah.
The AAU culture of there's always another game.
Yes.
And these guys are all buddies now. That no one, the Kobe Bryant, the Michael Jordan, I will rip your heart out mentality, that the way that youth basketball is being run now is killing that because of what you said. No one wants to compete.
Well, we have a big country, so we have a lot of good basketball. We do. We really do. But, and I was asking Paul Biancardi, our recruiting analyst, who I'll be working the game with tonight, to your point, who are the killers? Who are the competitors? Who are the guys out here that no matter whether it's a scrimmage last night at the Blazers practice facility or the game tonight or pickup game in some park, are out here and they will try to rip your throat out? And there's not that many of those guys. And they're few and far between, unfortunately. These kids are as skilled as they've ever been. And I've been around this game now going on 35, 40 years. But, yeah, the killer instinct, the Patrick Ewings, the Isaiah Thomases, all the guys you think of as the competitors through the years, not quite the same.
I know you follow the international game closely. Where are they now? I know they obviously caught up to the U.S. game by leaps and bounds over the years. Where is that now?
62 international guys going to be in the NBA playoffs. You know, pretty good. 120 were on rosters. A fifth of the league are international guys. And the beauty of international basketball, as it's grown closer together, like the world has shrunk basketball-wise, is there's no longer the mentality that, oh, they're soft Europeans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like Nurkic. You know, look at him. He's good. Yeah. If I'm going out in Portland tonight, and I've seen
he's
him.
Tough.
By the way, his dad was a, I don't know if you guys noticed.
It's like a cop, right?
7 feet, 400 pounds.
Giant.
Was a riot police officer. He worked like the soccer matches. You know, so Nurkic is, you know, he's not soft.
He's not soft. I agree with you. But at the same time.
He's goofy.
Yeah, there is this, I don't want to call it a soft element about him, but
no, I know.
You know, he's always getting hit in the face. He's always this dramatic sort of
European flair, as we call it.
They're good actors. Like, I can pantomime this to you guys, but the listeners won't understand. Like, there'll be a foul called, and they'll put their hands over their mouth.
Right.
You know, like, I can't believe you just called it on me. No, but Nurkic is a unique guy, but the soft Euro is, you know, the real skinny, soft guy. That's out the window now. You got guards. You got small forwards. You got big guys. You got finesse guys. You got a whole bunch of
Well, the number one pick may be the kid from Spain, right?
He's from Slovenia. But he's playing in Spain. Doncic. Luka Doncic. He'll be 1, 2, or 3. And my description of him is part Gordon Hayward, part Manu Ginobili. He's got the Gordon Hayward athleticism, which is not great, but good enough for the NBA. But he's got the brain of Ginobili. He is an incredibly smart player for his age, and he's 6'8", 220, and he's not a point guard, but he can play like a point guard.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, great talking to you. This was really fun.
Loved it. Love coming up here, guys, and always love to come to Portland. It's a great city.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.